Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. Got Brian next to me, flailing his arms around. I think, air drums, is that what you're trying to do?
What am I going to do with you? 3 years of this, and you say something like that?
Well, of course. Got to make this, you know, show extra special.
Yeah, well, it's already special, all right. Hey, we got a big anniversary coming up.
We do. 3 years they've allowed us to be on the air. And I'm still shocked about
that. The FCC hasn't shut us down yet. No, February 8th, 2014 was our first show.
I know.
How about that, buddy?
It's incredible.
3 years of bad radio. Consecutive.
I was going to say broadcast excellence redefined.
Well, you could say our first show aired that date, and our first show aired E-R-R-E-D that day.
Yeah.
And every show since we've aired.
Yes, yes. Oh, hey, well, you've kept me pretty busy the past couple weeks with
Road.
I feel like a road warrior, man. Yeah. I talked to Cheryl. It's like, I realize this is the first time in two consecutive weeks when I wasn't on vacation anyway. I put on 1,000 miles each week on the road. And some observations from the road.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We can maybe do a new thing with this. Observations from the road. Mm-hmm. So if you're driving.
That sounds like an NPR show to me.
If you're driving in rural Kansas, and there's small towns around. Mind you, when I say rural, I mean like towns no larger than 500 people that you pass through. That is purgatory for the traveling coffee snob.
Well, this is true.
Another observation is that desperate men drink coffee from Pizza Ranch and Cenex co-ops.
You do what you got to do.
Right.
Hey, listen, here's a road warrior trick for coffee snobs.
Okay.
Try Come and Go. Their coffee, I mean, for convenience store coffees.
I was driving in places where Come and Go would have been a luxury.
Well, I don't know what to tell you then, buddy.
Yeah.
I do know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. So, and another thing I noticed, too, is for one thing, I rely on Siri way too much for directions. Siri was, like, taking me on these county highways. I was getting off the state highways. It's like, what
That's
the heck?
Never a good idea in Kansas,
well,
buddy.
This
you
was actually in South Dakota. This
back.
Was in South Dakota.
Okay.
Minnesota. I'm sorry, Minnesota. It was the middle of a route, and it popped up. We found an alternate route that will save you time. Would you like to do it? And I'm like, hey, yeah, sure. And I'm like, I was on this. It ended up being fine. I actually did save time. But I was like, I'm in trouble if I break down because I'm like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know exactly where you're at, too. I've been that on that route. So,
and then it also, I put way too much faith in this machine. I got her set up where she does a nice British accent, so she's pleasant to listen to. But she tries to lead me astray. Like, for instance, tried to take me on a road that no longer exists.
You're not falling in love with a device here, are you?
Well,
Cheryl, we may have a problem here. Shane's falling in love with Siri.
Siri's got such a pleasant voice. So anyway.
Okay, enough of this nonsense. Do we have a special
guest?
We
do, because there's some things that are happening in the news that we'd like to get some legal expertise on. So we called the only guy we know.
Friend of the show.
Yes.
He keeps coming on.
He keeps coming back on. So yeah, Matt Whitaker, former U.S. attorney and Iowa Hawkeyes great. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Matt.
Hey, guys.
He's still there.
I would have to can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would have to agree with you on the Come and Go coffee. I prefer their Kona. It's really good. I got the dollar refill mug, and I go there all the time. So
okay.
Thumbs up on the thumbs up on the come and go coffee.
I have to say,
I have to agree with you on that.
The worst, I sometimes drink Cafe Americanos from coffee shops. The worst Cafe Americano I got was last week in Grand Island, Nebraska. I have this theory that maybe I shouldn't order coffee from adolescent girls who look like they don't drink coffee.
Well, and the other thing is you got to remember the roots of the Americano, which is during World War II when the Americans went over to Europe and they couldn't find drip coffee, and so they had to get espresso with hot water.
Yeah.
And so they called it the Americano. So if you want a real Americano, you need to go over places like I was this summer, like Berlin, Munich, those types of places. That's where you can get a good Americano.
Hmm. Usually, I shall keep that in mind.
Yeah. Usually I've been pretty happy with any Americano I got. But I think the issue with this is they just didn't put enough espresso in it.
You know, this is Caffeinated
Thoughts
Radio.
You can never
have
too much espresso.
Right.
That's my personal theory.
Yeah, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we should have discussions like this with Matt Whitaker about the nature of coffee.
I didn't know that about
it. I'm telling you, if we were talking about coffee or beer, we could fill the entire hour with me.
Those are like my two favorite drinks.
But that's not why we had him on.
Right, right. That'll have to be another show.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll do that again.
Awesome, awesome. Well, President Donald Trump made his first Supreme Court pick, maybe one of several. We'll see. And are you happy with who he picked?
Well, I don't know Judge Gorsuch very well at all, only what I've sort of learned through the media, but what I do know is that the people that follow this very closely, that I value their opinion, they know Judge Gorsuch, and they know that he's a good man and is going to be a great Supreme Court justice. So I guess, you know, through my network, I've determined that, you know, he's well qualified and will be sort of in that, you know, line of Scalia, where if you remember sort of Justice Scalia and what he was known for is, I mean, he was a strict constructionist. But he didn't always necessarily come out sort of the way a, you know, Republican Party would want them to come out on the issues, but he followed the law. And that's, I guess, at the end of the day, you know, I sort of do believe in the political power resting in the people and our elected officials and the Supreme Court being there just to, you know, sort of determine if it's constitutional and if it's, you know, legal and if they have to glean what the law is, you know, going back to you know, sort of tried and true ways of judging. And that's what we're looking for out of these folks. And I think he's everything I've learned about him and know about him, and especially the friends that I have that I value their opinions. I mean, they think very highly of the judge. And so I think this is a from what I know so far, I would say this is for sure a home run for nomination.
Definitely. I know Mike Ferris, who's now the chairman of Alliance Defending Freedom, gave him two thumbs up, and pro-life groups are happy, even though I don't know if he's actually ruled on any abortion case.
He has apparently written some opinions on that, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But, Matt, have you heard anything about that?
I have not. Okay. I do know he wrote a whole book on assisted suicide in the constitutionality of it, so I'm sure you could glean from that sort of his view on life and how the Constitution interacts with that.
I had seen, I think this was on NBC News, they were suggesting that Judge Gorsuch was actually to the right of Antonin Scalia on originalism. Have you heard anything?
Well, you would have to. There's not a lot of daylight on the right.
Oh, man,
Scalia on originalism.
I thought that was that was a no man's land for sure. Yeah.
I think one of the interesting analyses that I saw is that he clerked for Judge Kennedy, and Judge Kennedy, I guess, and him are close friends, and Judge Kennedy, Justice Kennedy, values Judge Gorsuch a lot. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see if, you know, having Gorsuch on the bench will move Kennedy, you know, to that, you know, that kind of Thomas, Alito, and nominally Roberts, side of the bench.
That'll be interesting to see. Right now, even though after this appointment, it's still going to be kind of Kennedy's court with the swing vote. So we'll have to see if anybody else retires or God retires.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch Kennedy. And I think one of the reasons that Gorsuch was put up was to sort of give Kennedy some comfort that Trump would nominate Kennedy's successor in that sort of vein. And so I think it's, you know, I'm a casual Supreme Court watcher, but at the same time, I think it's going to be very interesting, you know, sort of there are some, you know, not so spring chickens on that court too.
Right.
And so it's going to be very interesting.
I don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg ever intends to die.
But God has a plan for all of us.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right. So, well,
but
at least not until there's a liberal president in
office.
Well,
exactly. I mean, to your point, Shane, I can't imagine that she's willingly going to step down.
No.
If her health will allow it, she's going to hang in there and hope for better things.
I want to make
it
clear to our listeners, and I'm not wishing for her death or anything like that. But yeah, I don't see her. Well, yeah, you're right. During this administration, unless she can't help it, she's going to stay.
Yeah. I mean, she knows what will happen if she does.
Right.
Yep. And she's been rather outspoken about what she thinks about Mr. Trump.
Very true.
What do you think?
One thing about this president is there's very few people that don't have an opinion about him.
That is absolutely correct. Yes,
Matt, let me take you down in that regard. Let's go down the rabbit trail just for a second. What do you think about that sort of thing? Because Justice Ginsburg a couple of times now has made some rather caustic remarks about President Trump. What do you think about that coming from someone who's a justice on the Supreme Court?
I'm okay with it because, first of all, I have no illusions that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to be a fan of Donald Trump.
Sure, right.
And so, I mean, she can either, be quiet about it and have us, I guess, quote unquote, guessing as to what she thinks, or she can just confirm what we already knew. And, I mean, as long as you're not prejudging cases, I mean, certainly you can say, what she said without saying, I'm never going to rule in his favor. I mean, if she's so hard-hearted that she can't have an open mind in judging cases, then, ultimately that's kind of on her and her, style as a justice.
Yeah.
I think she's smarter than that, and I think she tries to do, I never impute malice on people unless it is so obvious that they are malicious. And I just, I think that in this case, she just has a point of view. A lot of us disagree with her point of view, but it is, her point of view, and that's the way she sees the world. And so I can imagine that a Donald J. Trump as president is not kind of
sure
her worldview. And, we just all have to accept that, elections have consequences. And,
right.
She was put on, by a much different president than what we have today. I mean, I can't remember how old she is, but she's, I would be surprised if she's able to hang on for as long as she might hope. I'm also surprised that she didn't take the 8 years of Obama,
right,
who is going to be probably the most liberal president we'll ever have.
That's a good point.
In our lifetime.
That's a good point.
And taking, that's a little arrogant, I think. I mean, somebody sits there and thinks that they and only they can do that job and defend, kind of whatever issues they're trying to, defend in advance. So,
right.
I mean, it's interesting. I think once, I've had friends go on the bench, and I will tell you, I've gone to a few swearing-ins of those folks, and I think I can see, as soon as that black robe's put on them, I see reason and common sense shoot out their ears. So that's just, kind of my experience, but I would imagine at the highest court that probably is even worse.
Probably. So speaking of, you mentioned point of view earlier, what is your point of view of the refugee executive order that Donald Trump released last week?
I will have to say that I only know what I hear on the news. I've been really busy with the nonprofit I run out in Washington D.C., the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust. I'm also really busy with the law firm because two of my partners are now up in the leadership at the state capitol and are kind of MIA at the firm. And so I've been I feel like I'm pulling four oars right now in this firm boat. But that being said, I mean, I think first of all your listeners need to read it and understand, what it really is. And all it is a pause in the immigration process for people from certain countries where, essentially radical Islamic terrorism is festering and trying to figure out a system to fully vet these refugees. And it seems to me it's fairly reasonable and it's temporary. I think ultimately, America is a place that accepts refugees with open arms. But when we want to make sure our experience isn't like that of some other countries that have accepted refugees. And I think of France and Germany as two prime examples of, the chaos and mayhem. In fact, just today,
That's
they
right.
had a terrorist attack, in France. And so I'm You know, I guess, you know, my opinion is that I think it's good policy. You know, I think it's legal. I think it's constitutional. But at the same time, you know, I am not against legal immigration. And I also think right. that America should accept the best and the brightest from around the country and have them be a part of our economy. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not a xenophobe or, you know, somebody that thinks that,
right.
And, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Americans are the only sort of way to the future.
Well, he's a cyclonophobe.
It seems to me that you have extremes on both sides when it comes to this executive order. On the right, they're thinking this is like, oh yeah, he's following through on like Muslim ban, which yeah. this was not. And then you have, you know, leftists who are saying, oh, this is like a Muslim ban, which it wasn't. Because nobody's reading the executive order. And it wasn't unprecedented what he did either.
No, and Shane, the thing that, you know, I really frustrates me is politics in America is who can market their ideas better in short sound bites. And this right. quote-unquote Muslim ban, you know, is just a creation of the left. You know, you see yep. it. I'm sure you see it in your Facebook feed. I see it in mine.
Right.
You know, these kind of people that are just overreacting. They haven't even read it. They, you know, they quote some Huffington Post article that, you know, kind of suggests that, you know, the sky is falling and, you know, everybody hyperventilates. And it's just, you know, it is it's taken any kind of intellectual discourse or just kind of honesty out of the debate. And quite frankly, I find it very frustrating.
It is frustrating. Thank you so much for coming on, Matt. We appreciate your perspective and input.
Thanks, Matt.
And this is
All right, we'll do that beer and coffee show next time, right?
Definitely, definitely. This is Caffeinated right. Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
Brian is trying very hard to distract me as I'm laser-focused on doing this read-in.
I'm impressed, buddy. I've done some of my best stuff this morning, and I can't hardly get you to smile.
Yep. Not going to do it. Not going to crack
He's
under
being
the pressure.
No, you're just being a Grinch.
I am. I'm grinning on the inside.
Yeah. He's a Grinch, folks. All right, what are we doing?
Speaking of Grinch and Grouch, Gorsuch, we just got done talking about. There on Twitter, there was a whole string of people the other day that were misspelling his name, calling him Grouch. So you can imagine Oscar the Grouch wearing judges robes.
Yeah. I'm sure the left will have a field day with
right,
that.
Right. Well, it was the left that were doing it, but then some of the people on the right started. They would call him they would spell it right one instance and then write Grouch. And I saw several tweets like this. It's like, what the heck? Anyway, okay.
Such a deal.
But that's not what we're talking about this segment.
What are we talking about this segment?
Well, liberals are right now, you know, their minds are melting because the Iowa Supreme Court, fat chance. The Iowa Senate passed Senate File 2 on a 30-20 vote. And basically, this Senate File 2, if you're unaware, is a bill that would
really... You're living under a rock somewhere.
That would reallocate family planning money away from the providers who perform abortion and direct it to organizations to provide those services without providing abortion, such as federally qualified healthcare centers.
Are there people like that?
Well, there are a few doctors in U.S. Senate.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Some crisis pregnancy centers could qualify as well. It's not changing any of the qualifications. It's just saying the organization that to receive this money, and there are some in code, it's just saying your organization can't provide abortion. I know. And we should note, too, the feds, I think it was the House. The House passed their own defunding measure, and our own U.S. Senator Ernst introduced a bill in the U.S. Senate that would do the same thing, that basically is saying what the Senate File 2 is going to do at the state level. It's reallocating money. So this whole – well, anyway, we got some clips we want to play. I could blather on, but I'd rather actually play some clips from the debate.
That would be
State
good.
State Senator Amy Sinclair from Allerton – as Republican, the only Republican woman in the Senate Republican caucus, she was the floor manager for the bill. She's the one that introduced
it. She had her hands full, too.
Yeah. So she gave some opening remarks. I wanted to play an excerpt of that. Clip one.
I have received many emails, phone calls, and I would like to take a moment to address some of the concerns that and questions that Iowans have raised to me about how this will affect women's reproductive health. In response to these concerns, I reached out to the executive branch and received guidance from the Department of Human Services, who will be tasked with administering the new state family planning services program. First, this bill will not completely eliminate tax funding to Planned Parenthood in the state of Iowa. This bill deals specifically with the Medicaid Family Planning Network waiver, which utilizes state tax dollars, but does not address the Medicaid Title X program, nor the teen pregnancy and sex education grant programs. These are fully federally funded programs totaling approximately $1.5 million with different funding requirements. This bill does not address that. Second, this bill will not eliminate family planning funding for services for needy Iowa women. Last year, approximately $3 million was spent using a combination of state and federal monies. This bill will actually transition the same requirements for covering these women for birth control, for pap tests, for STI tests, all the same services as currently covered. While this bill is purely policy, it is the intent of this body to actually expand the amount committed to the purpose to over $3 million, as it is anticipated that access to providers will increase usage of the program. That will take place later in the appropriations process. Next, this bill does not change laws regarding abortion. Please be clear on that. Currently, tax funding cannot cover elective abortions. There will be no change related to that. This bill does not limit or infringe the legal option of a woman to seek an abortion. It is a measured attempt to balance the reproductive health care needs of Iowa's working poor with the objections of the taxpayers to tangibly subsidize that option through public support in shared facilities.
Okay. Janet Peterson kind of led the opposition. She's state senator from Des Moines. Let's go ahead and play a clip from her.
More unintended pregnancies, more high-risk pregnancies, and cost Iowa taxpayers more. Iowans don't support it. Doctors warn against it. We should listen to them and reject it.
All right, we're going to stop that right there. Iowans support it. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what polling she was looking at. Des Moines Register apparently ran a poll asking them if Iowans approve of Planned Parenthood services. Non-abortive services. I haven't seen the exact language, but apparently 74% of Iowans said yes. Again, I have a hard time believing 74% of people agree with anything, any one position. It's getting hard to see that anymore. But this flies in the face of polling I've seen on the actual, what Des Moines Register didn't ask, do you believe your taxpayer money should be supporting organizations like that. Polling that's asked questions like that shows a much different picture. People do not believe taxpayer money should be funding organizations like Planned Parenthood. Let's play.
This is a horrible organization.
It is.
And this whole debate has simply been about the promotion of abortion. I'm sorry. There is absolutely nothing else involved here. I mean, we can argue all these peripheral things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is about the promotion of abortion through an absolutely horrifying organization, period.
Absolutely. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we are talking about Senate File 2 that passed the Iowa Senate on a 30-20 vote, which we knew it was going to pass. It's going to probably pass in the Iowa House. I'd be shocked if it didn't.
You're right.
And Governor Branstad has already indicated he's going to sign it. So this, folks, this is done deal pretty much. So, yeah. Amy Sinclair, I have to... She's a redhead, if you don't know what she looks like.
Uh-oh.
She gets fiery in a debate. Let's play clip number four.
Uh-oh.
This is
a redhead.
This is Matt McCoy, Senator Matt McCoy versus State Senator Amy Sinclair. Cage match, go.
I would ask at this time if the senator would still yield. Senator Sinclair, would you please
Senator
yield?
Sinclair, would you yield?
Certainly.
You are in order.
Senator Sinclair. I want to talk a little bit about, I did a little fact check here. Now, you indicated that Unity Point does not perform abortion, so they would be a provider in the community.
They advised a fellow senator that they did not perform elective abortions.
But the bill, can you show me anywhere in your bill that you're presenting to us today, anywhere at all, where it describes the term elective abortions?
It does not describe the term elective abortion. It describes the term, it describes abortions as
abortion.
those that would necessary to preserve the health and life of mother, or those that are used to complete the process of a spontaneous miscarriage.
But if your bill does not say elective abortions, and Unity Point performs abortions, then it isn't Unity Point disqualified?
There would be
we don't want to keep it plain.
Qualified who performed those
Matt
types
McCoy's
of abortions.
Not the brightest bulb.
Okay, who would they be?
I assume most hospitals would be able to provide a DNC to remove the remaining the remains of conception from a miscarriage. My local hospital in Corydon.
Again, I think you're not on the point that I'm trying to make here. Is
Senator McCoy, the point of this bill is the taxpayers should not be funding organizations with which they have conscientious objections, and that is the point of the bill. We are not cutting health care services to women. In fact, we plan to continue to provide health care services to women. Yeah. We are not eliminating birth control access to anyone. In fact, we are encouraging them to get their birth control in conjunction with their broader health care. We are not eliminating the teen pregnancy prevention programs. Those will continue to be funded, and those funded to Planned Parenthood. It is not the intent of this bill to do anything except eliminate the conscientious objection of Iowa taxpayers from subsidizing the shared cost of shared facilities for abortion providers. Senator McCoy, that is the purpose of this bill.
Senator, I think...
Mic drop.
Boom.
Boom. She had another... She tangled also with State Senator Joe Bolcom from Iowa City. That's clip five.
You, as I say, you told Senator McCoy, and I suppose all of us, if you've got a family plan, if you've got Planned Parenthood, we're going to have to all go to figure out who's a Medicaid provider.
If I could just confirm for you, Unity yeah. Point, Dr. Amy Bingham's office confirmed that they do not perform abortions and would therefore be providers for your constituents.
Any Medicaid provider can provide these services. Let's be clear about that. There are a lot of those in the state. Go ahead.
Unity Point. That's nice. If you're a Unity Point community, that's good to know. You can, how many healthcare providers in your district accept Medicaid?
I don't have an exhaustive list memorized. I do have it in my file. If you would like to take the few minutes, I could count them.
Well, I've got a list here, but I'll hold off on a second. Of the current how many current providers in your district are there of the family planning waiver?
Again, I have the list in my file. If you would like, I could take the time and count them.
No, I can just tell you, there are 13.
Thank you.
Right now, you have 13 providers that have billed the family planning waiver.
So if you knew the answer to the question, Senator,
have you talked to any of the other providers in your district about their plans to provide services?
I have spoken with the representative for the federally qualified health care centers, and they do have some concerns about ramping up to do the women's health care family planning, but they are willing.
Do you know which providers in your district right now are billing for family planning services?
Again, I have the list in front of me.
Can you
name
one?
To take the time, I would be happy to count that.
Well, I've done some research. And
so again, if you have the answers to the questions, Senator.
Well, you're running the bill. I would expect that you would know what the impact is on your district.
I have the information in front of me. I don't memorize it.
Well,
if you know the answers to the questions, Senator, why am I yielding?
Why am I yielding? Why are you wasting my time?
Bingo. She's a sharp gal.
Yeah, she's like, you know, this is just political grandstanding because you know you're going to lose.
Yep. But kudos to her because in the middle of this heat, she's clearly articulating the points.
Right. Janet Peterson, we didn't play this in the clip, but she brought up, Senator Peterson brought up that Texas defunded Planned Parenthood. And suddenly there was a rise in maternal deaths. And credit to, we're not going to have time to play his clip, but credit to State Senator Julian Garrett of Indianola for pointing out hogwash. He did some research. He's like, I was hoping you were going to bring that up. He said, by the way, you realize you didn't mention it, Senator Peterson. It must have been an oversight. But
yeah,
the funding didn't take effect until 2013. Oh, hey, guess what? That jump in deaths, that happened before then. Oh, you know what? Something else you forgot to mention? Deaths went down after defunding Planned Parenthood in 2014.
Whoops.
Oh.
Whoops.
Yeah. These folks, this is just common sense, folks. There are more federally qualified health centers than there are Planned Parenthood. This does not get rid of women's health care. There are more Medicaid providers than there are Planned Parenthoods. This is going to expand options for women, not restrict.
This has always been a false narrative that especially poor women were going to lose all of their medical care options if we did this. It's
right.
Nonsense.
And also, too, this is an organization that's under investigation for Medicaid fraud, as State Senator Jason Schultz pointed out. We don't want to fund those people.
No, it's a horrible organization.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news segment, otherwise affectionately known as News You Can Use. Okay, first up from the Hill. The House on Thursday struck down an Obama-era regulation that could block some recipients of disability benefits from buying guns. The House voted 235 to 180 to roll back a rule that required the Social Security Administration to report people who receive disability benefits and have a mental health condition to the FBI's background check system. The NRA opposed the rule, and while the group says it supports keeping guns away from the mentally ill, said that the determination about who is mentally ill should be left to the courts. The Obama administration's last-minute backdoor gun grab would have stripped law-abiding Americans of their Second Amendment rights without due process, said Chris Cox of the NRA's top lobbyist. Well, Senator Chuck Grassley, responding to all this, said the following. The Obama administration's regulation that adds certain Social Security recipients to the gun ban list is reckless, overly broad, and an affront to the Second Amendment rights of people with disabilities. Whenever the government acts to limit the fundamental constitutional rights of citizens, it must do so carefully, lawfully, and in a way that doesn't unduly impact law-abiding Americans. The Social Security regulation fails in this regard. That's why many disability advocates and civil rights watchdogs have called for Congress to repeal the final rule.
And yeah, and he's being the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's filed his own resolution in the Senate that would do the same thing. And due process, that's the key word,
that's the
folks.
Key.
You cannot take away somebody's constitutional right without due process. And this fails in a big way.
Right, and we're all concerned about making sure that people who shouldn't have guns don't have them. I get
right.
that.
But the Social Security Administrator is not the person to make that
right.
determination.
That's right. This was not the way to do that. Okay, next up. This is from Heat Street. What the heck is Heat Street?
It's a fairly new website.
Okay.
I can't remember who runs it. I haven't checked it out before.
This isn't fake news, Vander Hart.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
All right. During his campaign for president, Donald Trump courted religious conservatives by promising that as commander-in-chief, he would repeal the so-called Johnson Amendment, which prevents nonprofit organizations, including churches, from engaging in open political speech. Thursday at the National Prayer Breakfast, Trump pledged to make good on his promises, reassuring his audience that he would repeal the measure as soon as possible. The amendment is a 1954 IRS tax code provision that has long dogged religious leaders who want a more front and center role in politics, particularly Republican politics. It prevents any nonprofit organization from directly or indirectly campaigning for, endorsing, or raising money for any political candidate and requires that these same institutions do little beyond educating their flocks on matters of policy. Now, we've seen the left run roughshod over this
right,
for years.
Right. That's when I kind of take umbrage with the particularly Republican politics.
Well, I think it's fair to say that in recent times, the impetus to overturn this 1954 rule would indeed be more from a conservative
right,
perspective.
Right. The left, the religious left just ignore it.
Yes.
And they do.
Yes.
And they just do what they want. Well, and they never have to worry about consequences.
Right. And we've talked about it before. The IRS, generally speaking, has stayed away from it for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is they think they're going to lose in court on constitutional grounds.
Yeah. The right can go ahead and, you know, a lot of this is self-censorship. They could go ahead and do it if they want.
Well, I think guys like Kerry Gordon are.
Right. And it's like, I want the IRS to sue them all the way to the Supreme Court, he said.
Yep.
Kerry Gordon's a pastor up in Sioux City, Iowa. So.
Okay. Next up, this is from CNN. Think of this might be fake news.
According to Trump, it is.
Okay. The Senate voted early Friday to advance President Donald Trump's Education Secretary nominee, Betsy DeVos, to a final confirmation vote, which is expected Monday. The vote was 52 to 48 along party lines. Senators convened at the unusual early hour, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Because of Democratic stalling tactics that reflect their unhappiness with Trump's cabinet picks and the overall confirmation process. You think?
Yeah, yeah.
DeVos has come under fire from Democrats and two key Republicans for her positions on public and charter schools, as well as statements made during her confirmation hearing last month. Despite losing support from Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, she is expected to be confirmed Monday with the help of Vice President Mike Pence, who will be in the chamber to break the tie. Collins and Murkowski, who have both said they intend to vote against DeVos's final confirmation, voted to end debate and advance her confirmation as expected.
Yeah, they said they didn't want to block a vote, but they couldn't vote against her or couldn't vote for her. Senator Collins, I wasn't expecting Senator Murkowski based on her line of questioning and the confirmation.
You can see it coming.
It didn't surprise me. She was not very impressed with her school choice emphasis because she's like, for one thing, she's like, a lot of Alaskan children don't have access because there are private schools for them to go to.
Yeah.
Are there even
any charter schools to speak of up there?
Maybe in Anchorage, but generally speaking, most of the state is, your options are either public school or homeschooling.
Sure.
Betsy DeVos, I'm kind of...
You've been on the fence with her.
Yeah. I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt like I am President Trump if she's nominated, but first of all, the confirmation hearing was an absolute waste of time. And she was absolutely not impressive during the confirmation hearing. I would hope that everybody could recognize that. Personally, I think we could have done much better. Bill Evers would have been a better pick, I think, for Secretary of Education.
Yeah, you've been kind of pushing that from the get-go.
He would be friendly on school choice, but he's solid on policy matters. And one thing I have to – Betsy DeVos, what has she done beyond writing checks in support of school choice?
Well, I mean, she has been an advocate for school choice. She's done some mentoring in public schools.
I understand that.
But she's not a policy heavyweight.
I'm
granting your point that this is not a strong candidacy in many other respects.
Yeah,
no question.
And I'm concerned about her issue where she will end up landing on LGBT stuff too. I was kind of hoping at the very least she'd be reverse what I've seen with Arnie Duncan and John King, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Okay, we got to push this one out here pretty quick. This is from Politico. The White House on Thursday declared that Israeli settlement construction beyond the country's current borders may not be helpful in achieving peace, a statement that represented a break from President Donald Trump's previous almost lockstep support for the policies of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah, I heard this on the news this morning, and I thought, wow. Kind of surprises me that this would come out of the administration, especially this quickly.
Right.
Says here, while we don't believe the existence of settlements is an impediment to peace, the construction of new settlements or the expansion of existing settlements beyond their current borders may not be helpful in achieving that goal, said the statement from the White House. In December, Trump had attacked former President Barack Obama's administration for not vetoing a measure at the UN that was critical of Israel on the issue of settlement construction. This puts Israel in a very poor negotiating position and is extremely unfair to all Israelis, Trump had said then. So this does appear to be a little bit of a about face.
Right. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens in that regard.
Everything in this administration
will be interesting.
A little interesting.
Coming at you like a fire hydrant. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone,
Uptown, Down Home American Kids. Trying to fix your problems with the same failed solutions over and again, expecting different results? You know that you need help, but it seems people keep being part of the problem. Where do you turn? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa. And it's time to pause for peace. The reality is that we do live in a broken world with people that stumble and sin in many ways. To whom can we trust the intricacies of our broken lives? Can other broken people be trusted to fix us? Or are we simply asking the blind to lead the blind? Counseling based upon the authoritative Word of God sets the source of recovery outside of this broken cycle. Yes, broken, fallible, and unfaithful people can actually help others if they are tethered to the solid, unmovable standard of God's Word. For compassionate help based on the Scriptures, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
Okay, today we're starting a new feature on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll probably put this at the end of the news segment from now on, but today we're ending the show with our new feature.
I don't know. This might be a good fourth segment thing, too. We'll talk about it.
Without further delay, drum roll, please. May I present to you the top Trump tweet of the week?
Very enthusiastic applause.
All right, this one was at 7:55 p.m. on February 1st. This is our beloved president. Do you believe it? The Obama administration agreed to take thousands of illegal immigrants from Australia. Why? I will study this dumb deal.
Sounds like he's already got rendered his opinion.
In a contentious phone call with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on Saturday, President Trump called an agreement negotiated with the Obama administration to resettle about 1,250 refugees held by Australia, quote, the worst deal ever, unquote. He accused Australia of seeking to export the next Boston bombers. On Thursday at the White House, Trump said, I love Australia as a country, but he's upset about the refugee deal and is reviewing it. We'll see what happens, he said. Here's what the deal involves. The Obama administration agreed last year to resettle the refugees from Australian-run offshore detention centers on the Pacific islands of, what is it, Nauru and Manu?
Close enough.
Yep. In Papua New Guinea. Turnbull said the agreement announced in November would give priority to women, children, and families. The Australian government automatically sends people in boats who attempt to reach its shores to those islands where they are detained indefinitely, often in poor living conditions. Most of the asylum seekers are from Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Trump signed an executive order last Friday that temporarily suspends the U.S. refugee program and immigration from seven majority Muslim nations that include Iraq, but not Afghanistan. He cited security concerns about letting terrorists in the United States as the reason.
Yeah, not just majority Muslim, but focused on ones where, you know, there was a high probability or high emphasis on
radicalism.
Which, you know, Afghanistan could probably easily be on that list, too. Well, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. Include probably a lot of places.
It's always an enigma when you look there and you see Saudi Arabia, because literally thousands of radicals are coming from that country. But because we have this relationship with their government, it's off the
right.
list.
Kind of going back to our conversation with Matt Whitaker in segment one, on one hand, you know, this isn't the end of the world, as some leftists are trying to indicate. This whole refugees welcome. Well, yes, refugees are welcome. They will still continue to be welcomed. Matter of fact, the levels they'll be allowed at will be somewhere in between what it will be actually more than what President Bush allowed during his administration.
The outcry has been completely ridiculous.
But on
frankly.
The other hand, with the right, it's like, I'm not sure this is going to be nearly as effective as people think it's going to be.
Yeah.
But in regards to Australia, why in the world can't they take in their own refugees?
Good point. In fact, I think Mr. Trump actually said something along those lines. Well, there was a lot of tweets we could have had, but this is the one we picked.
No doubt. I mean, where's the outrage about the conditions they're living in? This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back next week.
Take care, everybody.